بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله. Today is the 22nd of April in the year 2021. And alhamdulillah, we moved on to the 10th blessed day of the holy month of Ramadan. And I've reached verse 47 of Surah Nisa. So inshallah, today going through verse 47 and verse 48. So verse 47, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajeem, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. O people of the book, believe in what we have now revealed, confirming what was already with you, before we change the face and fame of some of you beyond all recognition, and turn them inwards, or curse them as we curse the Sabbath breakers, for the decision of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be carried out. So note again, this verse is addressed to the Bani Israel. So why was this revealed? In Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Jarir in his tafsir, number 10,850, Ibn Abi Hatim in his tafsir, number 5,411, Ad-Dur al-Mantur, Abdullah Ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he said, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once addressed a congregation of Jewish leaders that included people like Abdullah Ibn Surya and Ka'ab Ibn Asad. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and accept Islam, since they knew it was the truth. They, however, said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know nothing of this. Upon which Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. So in this report, in the books of Tafsir, it mentions that the Prophet got the leaders, the rabbis, and he told them, fear Allah, you know it is the truth. And of course they know. And they said, we don't know nothing of this. So Allah Ta'ala revealed this verse. And what does he say? O people of the book, believe in what we have now revealed, confirming what's with you, before we change the face and fame of some of you beyond all recognition and turn them backwards, or curse them as we curse the Sabbath breakers. So now, if you look at the threat, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? Before we change the face and fame of some of you beyond all recognition and turn them backwards. So what does this mean? The face is the chief expression of a man's real essence. It is also the index of his fame and estimation. The people of the book had been specially favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with revelation. If they prove themselves unworthy, they will lose their face. Their eminence would, owing to their own conduct, be turned into degradation. Others would take their place. As it mentions in Matthew 19:30, the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. So let's look at this. So even in English, if you say he's lost his face, it means he's lost his reputation. His honor has been lost. So here, this is the same kind of meaning in this verse. When Allah Ta'ala says, we will change your face, meaning you will lose all honor. And he says, because it's your own conduct, you were up there, the Bani Israel. You had the prophets, you believed in scripture, the Arabs were nowhere. But because of your own conduct, that has now been reversed. And what's happened? Allah Ta'ala has raised the lowly ones, and he's lowered the so-called high ones. So this is one interpretation here. The other is mentioned. So this is recorded in Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. The report says, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he's explaining this part of the verse. These two words, natmis adbariha, min qabli an natmisa, before we efface their faces. What does efface mean? Natmis. Ibn Abbas said, efface here refers to blindness. So the Quran would therefore interpret like this, before we make them blind. And then it says, wujuhan fanaruddaha ala adbariha, and turn them backwards. Ibn Abbas said, means we put their faces on their backs and make them walk backwards, since their eyes will be in their backs. So the meaning from Ibn Abbas and others, they said that because they've turned away, Allah Ta'ala will give them a suitable punishment. So their eyes will be on their back, imagine. This is maybe referring to the day of resurrection, right? And they'll be disgraced. Why? Because you're using your bike to walk. You're walking backwards. And that will be a sign of disgrace, said Ibn Abbas, the meaning mentioned here. Ibn Kathir added, it is a parable that Allah Ta'ala sets for ignoring the truth, preferring the wrong way, turning away from the straight path. Therefore, such people will walk backwards. Look how beautiful. Allah Ta'ala always gives the appropriate punishment. So when you see people, imagine on the Day of Judgment, eyes on their back, what the heck is this? Because they turned away from guidance. They're now walking backwards because they turned away. So this is the meaning as mentioned here by the respected scholars. Now this verse had a very powerful impact upon one of the Jewish rabbis. What did I mention yesterday? Right at the end of verse 46, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? فَلَا يُؤْمِنُونَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Few of them will believe. Few. So Allah Ta'ala mentioned that not all of them, some of them will become Muslims. So here it mentions, so the reference for this is Ibn Jarir and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Qa'ab al-Ahbar, famous rabbi, Ibn Kathir said he became a Muslim when he read this verse, verse 47. Then he gives you the report. It says, Isa ibn al-Mughira said, we were with Ibrahim rahmatullah alayh when we talked about the time Qa'ab became Muslim. Ibrahim said, Qa'ab became Muslim during Umar's Khalifat radiyallahu. He was passing by Al-Madinah intending to visit Jerusalem. And Umar radiyallahu saw him and said, embrace Islam, O Qa'ab. Qa'ab said, basically, how can I embrace Islam? He goes, don't you read in your book? And he recited this verse, Surah 62, verse 5. So in Surah Jummah, Surah 62, verse 5, Qa'ab said, how can I embrace Islam? When Allah Ta'ala has said this in your book. And the translation is, the example of those charged with the Torah, but who failed, is like a donkey carrying huge loads, but they don't understand. So Qa'ab stopped in the report. Qa'ab goes, you want me to embrace Islam when God called me a donkey? Right? He goes, your book's calling me a donkey. So now, let me just add something here. So this verse is talking about the Jews. What does Allah Ta'ala say? The rabbis. Their example is like a donkey carrying books. So look at that example. Does the donkey know what he's carrying? No. But he's got a lot of books. So he goes, that's their example. Evil example, Allah Ta'ala says. But there's a hadith. In Ahmad Tabarani, Bazar, Mishkat, Al-Haytami, and Majma Al-Zawait, Abdullah ibn Abbas, radiyallahu anhu, he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, whoever holds conversation on Friday whilst the Imam is preaching, and then he recited, كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ يَحْمِلُ أَسْفَارًا, he is like a donkey carrying huge loads. And he who tells him to keep quiet is also not credited with the Friday prayer. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you're offering the Friday prayer, and if you are talking, the Prophet goes, you're like the Jews, you're carrying books. Meaning, don't be like them. And if you tell somebody to keep quiet, you've lost the reward. So note how the Prophet himself was highlighting, we're going to fall into their traps. So, going back to the report. So Qa'ab al-Ahbar goes, you want me to become Muslim? When God says this in your book. Then he went. And then he said, Umar left him alone. And Qa'ab then went to Hims in Syria. And suddenly, he heard a Muslim recite this verse. Verse 47. And what does it say? O you who have been given the scripture, believe in what we have revealed, confirming what is with you, before we have faced face and turned them backwards. Qa'ab was stunned. He goes, I believe, O my Lord, I believe. He embraced Islam. He feared that this might strike him. He then went back to his family in Yemen and returned with them all, and they became Muslims. So look how amazing. The same Quran was preventing him. But he didn't hear this verse. Never heard it. Allah Ta'ala made him hear this verse. And what does Allah Ta'ala say? You know it's the truth. If you turn away, I'm going to turn your face. I'm going to make an example out of you. He shocked him. He goes, I believe, right? And then he went to Yemen. All his family embraced Islam. Ka'b al-Ahbar was very close to Umar. Umar brought him close after that. And Umar radiallahu anhu, the reason he did that was to make him strong in his deen. But he would ask him. And a lot of the tafsir is from Ka'b al-Ahbar. For instance, let me mention one. Aisha radiallahu anha once said to Ka'b al-Ahbar, you know anything about Rasulullah's grave? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Ka'b al-Ahbar goes, yes, 70,000 angels do tawaf around it. And then at sunset, another 70,000 come and they swap shifts. And they rub their wings against his grave. Look how much knowledge they've got. The hadith is in Tarimi. And he's teaching Aisha, the mother of the believers, in her own dwelling. So he was very close. But, Hazrat Muawiyah said, radiallahu anhu, we noticed some errors from Ka'ab. Meaning because of his Jewish knowledge, his history, he said things but they weren't verified. So Muawiyah was saying, be careful. You might say things that is not actually from the Quran or Sunnah, it's from the previous scripture. But Umar obviously wanted him to be, and he became very strong, very firm during his Khilafat. So this verse had a very special place to Ka'ab. Think about that. Because it hit him. Now look at the verse. What is it then say? It says, oh, we cursed them as the Sabbath breakers were cursed. So now, who are the Sabbath breakers? You got to turn to another verse of the Quran. Surah 2 verse 65. In Surah 2 verse 65, Allah Ta'ala mentions those who broke the Sabbath. Their details can be found in Surah 7 verse 171. We don't need to go into it. But what, simply put, they were told not to work on Saturday, the Sabbath. So what they did was they put their nets out on Friday. Fish got caught on Saturday, and then Sunday they bring the nets in. So some people say, what are you doing? This is wrong. No, we didn't work on Saturday. We put nets out on Friday. Sunday we caught the fish. Allah Ta'ala cursed them because of that. So now details. This hadith is Jayyid as recorded in Irwa ul-Ghalil, number 1535, Ibn Kathir. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, do not commit what the Jews committed, breaching what Allah Ta'ala has forbidden by resorting to the lowest types of deceit. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, don't do what they did, trying to get around the command by loopholes. Mm-hmm. So technically, were they working on Saturday? No, they weren't. You can go to a mufti, were they working on Saturday? Just tell me straight, right? He will say, no, they weren't. Then why did they get cursed? Because they're getting around the command, right? Friday, put net out. Sunday, get the fee. You might as well have worked on Saturday. So this is the Prophet's warning. There's another hadith in Sahih Bukhari, number 2236, Sahih Muslim, number 1581. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, may Allah ta'ala curse the Jews. For when the fat of animals was made haram for them, they melted it, sold it, and then devoured its price. So fat was made haram. They sold it as oil. No, we don't sell fat. They melted it. So the Prophet goes, may Allah curse them. They're getting around the commands. So now, what does the Quran say? Surah 2 verse 64. فَقُلْنَا لَهُمْ كُونُوا كِرَدَةً خَاسِئِينَ. We said to them, become apes, despised and rejected. So the hadith explains, in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's tafsir, Ibn Abbas recited this verse. He said, Allah Ta'ala changed their bodies into those of monkeys and pigs. The young turned into monkeys, the old turned into pigs. Qatada added, these people were turned into howling monkeys with tails after being men and women. And Ibn Abbas said, those who violated the Sabbath were turned into monkeys, then they were perished without any offspring. This is in Ibn Abi Hatim, Ibn Kathir's tafsir. So they became monkeys and pigs. So what does Allah Ta'ala say in this verse? Verse 47. If I don't change your face, invert it, I will curse you as I've cursed the Sabbath breakers. So Ka'ab went, Ya Allah, I believe. In other words, don't. So this is, now what's interesting, the hadith clearly states they couldn't reproduce. Now why is that important? Because you can't have apes now who've got a lineage back to the Bani Israel. You understand? You can't say, oh, look, that ape in the zoo. His great, 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 great granddad was... No, because they died. They couldn't reproduce. They became monkeys and swine. And what's interesting, both of those are lowly life forms. Monkeys and swine. Pig eats its own rubbish. And monkeys found gandus amongst them. So what's strange about these people is they're trying to find homosexuality in nature, and they found it in monkeys, and they were celebrating. Boy, we found it. So we say God turned people into monkeys as a punishment, apes. So that's the lowest life form. And also, what's interesting, evolution. They want you to think you're a monkey as well. You know, if you go to into the zoo, your tata's there. It might be your tata, brother. It's not mine. My grandfather's Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. Right? So look how messed up they are. Shaitan's in the field there with them, astaghfirullah. The Sabbath breakers, astaghfirullah. But this is also mentioned here. Verse 48. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives not that partners should be set up with him, but he forgives anything else to whom he pleases. To set up partners with Allah is to devise a sin most heinous indeed. So like I keep on mentioning, this is one of the five verses that Abdullah ibn Masud said is more beloved to me than anything on this world and all that it contains, in Hakim and Ibn Kathir's tafsir. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala says, if you don't commit shirk, anything else I can forgive. Allahu Akbar. Look how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is. Would you have said that? If somebody says to you, what are the unforgivable sins that you think, no, they have to get punished? We wouldn't have just have one. I'll tell you straight, you'll say pedophiles, 100%, get them roasted, right? This, witchcraft, get them wasted, right? But Allah Ta'ala is so merciful, imagine, only shirk. He says, I will punish you for that, but anything else, I can forgive, if I wish. So Ibn Mas'ud goes, what a beautiful verse. Now why? Think about this. Just as in an earthly kingdom, the worst crime is treason. Isn't that true? Treason is a traitor, somebody who's betrayed, like a munafiq. Treason. It cuts at the very existence of the state. So in the spiritual kingdom, the unforgivable sin is treason against Allah by putting up rivals against Him. This is rebellion against the essence and source of spiritual life. So even logically, what do you do with the traitor? You hang him. You execute him. You know, many of the laws say this. Treason, you can't forgive that. He's betrayed his people. He's betrayed his land. Shirk is betraying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you just want to use pure logic, why can't God forgive? Because it's treason. And what makes it worse is, you said bala. Every one of us said, yes, you are our Lord, 100%. And you've renegated against that. So that's why Allah Ta'ala was, I'm not going to forgive that. Now there's reports. And look how interesting. The hadith is in Bazar ibn Kathir's tafsir. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, we used to not ask forgiveness for those who committed major sins until we heard our Prophet reciting this verse. And he's saying, my intercession on the day of resurrection, I have reserved for those amongst my ummah who commit major sins. SubhanAllah. So look at the Sahaba. He goes, in the early days, if somebody committed a major sin, he goes, we're not praying for him. He calls himself Muslim, he's committed a major sin because we didn't pray for him. Until what he said, we heard Rasulullah recite this verse. As if, only if Allah Ta'ala forgives everything except shirk, why can't we pray? And the Prophet's statement, I will intercede for the major sinners. So there was two things that made them change their mind for making dua for major sinners. One was this verse, Allahu Akbar. And the second was Rasulullah. Because when he said, I will intercede for major sinners. So no, the Sahaba, they couldn't tolerate major sinners. But they lowered themselves to the divine revelation. Now this next report, how many people like this, subhanAllah. So this narration is recorded in Tabarani and Ibn Abi Hatim. Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, the host of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I have a nephew and he just sins because he doesn't stop sinning. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what religion is your nephew following? In other words, is he Muslim? So the uncle, he said, he offers salat and he doesn't commit shirk. In other words, look how interesting the uncle, he could have said he's Muslim, but he didn't say that. He thought, the only thing he does, he prays, he doesn't commit shirk. So the Prophet said to him, look at how interesting, he said to his uncle, go to your nephew and ask him to give up his religion. And if he refuses, ask him to sell it to you. Look how interesting. The Prophet said, tell him to give up Islam. And if he refuses, say, sell it to me. So the uncle went and he came back after a while. He goes, and the Prophet said, what happened? The uncle said, my nephew refused to give up or sell his religion. He goes, no chance, uncle. I'm Muslim. He goes, sell it. He goes, sell it. He goes, no chance. Then this man returned to Rasulullah. And the Prophet said, Subhanallah, the religion is dear to him. Then Allah the Almighty revealed this verse. Allahu Akbar. Verse 48. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives not that partners should be set up with him, but he forgives anything else to whom he pleases. This was the reason that this verse was revealed. So why is this a very interesting report? Two reasons. In the early days, major sins, that wasn't on their wavelength. Sahaba goes, no chance. You but never going to make dua for it. You're going to get wiped. That was their belief. But Allah Ta'ala told them, don't think like that. You can fall into major sins. I will forgive. Follow my example. Rasulullah said, I will make shafa. Follow my example. Sahaba lowered themselves. So there's number one big thing for us to understand. Don't look down on major sinners. Because you think you're holier than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You think you're holier than Rasulullah. Where the hell have you popped out from? Like Khawarij. What's the Khawarij belief? Major sinners make you kafir. You know better than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second thing is that don't look down on Muslims. No matter how sinful they are, they will never sell their deen. You know, that's 100%. They might do everything under the sun. If you tell them, well, you might as well become evolutionist. Look how angry they get. Oh, you calling me a kafir? Well, you're living like one, are you? That's the iman. And that sahaba was doing that as well. He goes, no chance. I'm never going to give it up. So look at the lesson we take from this hadith and this verse. Allah Ta'ala is telling you, never look down on major sinners. In fact, we, the Ahlul Sunnah, say that the major sinners can love Allah Ta'ala and His message. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there was a man who used to drink in his lifetime. They used to smack him to get him purified. One day one of the sahaba goes, may Allah Ta'ala curse you. Don't you have any shame? And what did the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say? Don't curse him. He loves Allah Ta'ala and His message. Major sinners. Right? And also there's many other reports. The sahaba would say to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger are more merciful to us than ourselves. Imam Malik's Muwat. Think about that. We condemn ourselves, but even if we condemn ourselves, the Sahaba taught you. No. Allah Ta'ala and His Messenger love you more than yourself. Subhanallah. And also with regards to this verse, there's a hadith. The hadith is in Tirmidhi number 3048. It's Hassan Gharib. Sayyidina Ali. Look what he said. Look at the amazing words Sayyidina Ali said. ما في القرآن آية أحب إلي من هذه الآية. Of all the verses of the Quran, the dearest to me, the most beloved to me, is this verse. And he recited, إن الله لا يغفر أي يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shall not forgive anything who associates with him. But he shall forgive all besides that to whom he wills. So who knows better than Ali? If somebody goes to you, how much do you know about the Quran? What's your understanding? Which Mufti is going to challenge Ali? Ali goes, this is the most beloved verse to me. Because do you understand what Allah Ta'ala is saying here? Right? Meaning this is something else. And what's interesting is repeated. It's mentioned twice in this surah. Also in verse 116. As if Allah Ta'ala wants you to not to look, just in case you have understood. I'm repeating this in verse 116. Now, there's another report. We shouldn't be confused. The hadith is actually a commentary of the verse, Surah 93, verse 5. And the hadith mentions, it's in Daylami and Qanzul Omar, Ali again, radiallahu anhu. It relates that the Prophet said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not reveal a verse more hopeful than this verse. وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ And surely your Lord will give you, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until you are well pleased. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Thus I have saved it for my ummah on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. So let's look at this. So what does Allah ta'ala promise His beloved? وَلَسَوْفَ يُؤْتِيكَ رَبُّكَ فَتَرْضَىٰ I will give you what will please you. What does that mean? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the most hopeful verse. Give you great hope. Why? Because I'm going to use this on the day of judgment. He's talking about Shafa. So does that contradict this? No. Because that is talking about Shafa, which is part of understanding this verse. But Allah ta'ala himself will forgive anything except shirk. Allahu Akbar. And not Ibn Masud's statement. This is a very beloved verse to me. One of the five beloved verses of Surat Nisa. So I'll recite the verses and we will conclude. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين أوتوا الكتاب آمنوا بما نزلنا مصدقا لما معكم من قبل أن نطمس وجوها فنردها على أدبارها أو نلعنهم كما لعنا أصحاب السبت وكان أمر الله مفعولا إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء ومن يشرك بالله فقد افترى إثما عظيما. We pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He makes the Qur'an the Rabi of our hearts. And I pray to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives me for any errors which I may have inadvertently uttered. Subhanallah bihamdi subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka wa billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Subhanallah rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursaleen walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal asr innasa lafi khusr illazina amanu wa amilus salihat wa wasbil haqq wa wasbil sadaq. Sadaqallahu al-azim.